Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 182. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate and Sean?
Oh, having a, I guess, fantastic start of the week.
Is it the start of the week or the middle of the week?
Well, middle of the week now.
I was doing a little check.
Work sucks, but yeah.
I was doing a check.
Although we'll move on.
I look like I'm groping myself, but. I'm just checking to make, am I still middle-aged? Am I still creeped out?
I think we are.
I don't know what the smell's going to do. But
I don't want to change the name of the podcast.
Yeah. It's just, Sean's aging backwards.
Yeah, it's just been a rough go at work.
Has it?
Yeah, a little stressful.
Have you fired somebody?
No, not yet.
Not yet. You're getting there. I hope they don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, the job is, let's put 20 carts in front of the horse, shoot the horse, kick it a couple times, and ask, why isn't it pulling the carts?
Why isn't it winning the race?
Like, well,
that never happens.
Let me tell you a story, guys.
In any other job.
Yeah.
That would be frustrating.
It is. It is quite frustrating. And then I get stuck in the middle of stuff, so I have to battle my way
back out.
Nate's
the middleman, right?
Yeah.
Not just a middle-aged man.
Yeah, right. Middle-aged man and the middleman, yeah.
Yep.
I hear you. So. Sean, you have a good week?
Honestly, I am. It's been busy. We're minus a coworker at work, and so I've been covering two different areas and a third. People are worried about, and they're like, oh, gosh, you're overdoing it and all this stuff, and I'm like, honestly, I'm having the time of my life. I'm doing outpatient, I'm doing inpatient, and doing rehab, and it's a lot of patients, but I'm just taking it one step at a time, and I'm actually enjoying it. I told somebody that, you know how I've talked to you guys before about the Saturday feel, like that Saturday morning feel.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the outpatient, and the funny thing, I've done outpatient before, but it just has the Saturday morning feel. Hmm. I feel kind of, I don't know, that's funny because even Jenna's like, well, you should embrace it. It's like a chance. You know, I've never run an outpatient clinic, though. I've never been the guy to go to. And it's funny to get the emails and the texts and the people come up to me like, hey, I got a question. Hey, this and that about this patient. It's just kind of weird, you know, but it's like, I guess I do know what I'm doing, you know, and I can get these things figured out and I can move people forward. And the patient today, she's like, so you're the therapist I'm going to be seeing? I said, yeah. She's like, oh, good. And I told her about my schedule and she goes, why don't you just quit all that other stuff and do this? And I was like, yeah, I know other people said that too, but those are two big, you know, voids to fill. And there she goes, let them fill in with somebody else. So I don't know. Maybe that's what I need to do is just embrace the outpatient and do something. Yeah. But like I said, myself, I sit there and think, I can't do that. I'm not the leader of an outpatient, you know. But I don't know. Maybe it's time to do that. Maybe that's what did I need to do for a little bit anyway?
Right.
Get my Saturday morning feel.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which so is this, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that far out. I've noticed, like, it's not that bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to go with it, see what happens, see what
ride the wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I said, busy. You know, I got to keep up with paperwork, but I've been doing a good job so far. So,
good.
Yeah, so it's good.
Good, good.
How was your week?
Let's see.
Is it week?
Today's Wednesday.
It's a week.
Let's see. Tuesday? Yeah, Elijah, they played their first soccer game.
Nice.
Oh, sweet.
They did like they did last year where they played one half of the A team, second half was the B team.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, it was hot, too.
yeah.
I think it was last night. Yeah, so.
103.
Yeah. Yesterday was the hottest day.
They played Lebanon last year. Did the same thing with Lebanon. So, they must have they have an A and B team. I don't know. Anyway, so what they did was, the first half, so Elijah starts and he plays on the A team. They won 9-0. And that's just playing one half.
Wow.
So, then they're done. And so, that's technically a win. So, they're 1-0. And then they did the B team and they won 4-0. So,
it was wow.
Yeah. I guess the girls, I don't know if they did an A and B team, but they won, I think Elijah said, maybe 5 or 6 to nothing.
Dang. Over those are high scores for soccer.
For, oh, exactly, yeah. Right, yeah.
Well, one kid.
Did they have a goalie?
Sam either scored on our team, scored 4. I know he scored 4, but maybe 5 goals. A kid named Steven scored 2 or 3, and then another kid or 2 scored 1. Mm-hmm. And I can't, yeah, I was like, good grief, yeah. So, good start to the soccer season. He plays tomorrow night at Lawrence. It's like Belzer Middle School, but it's, mm-hmm. but it's part of the Lawrence Central. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Central? Lawrence, yeah. So, yeah, so that's pretty much it. Just work, normal. Mm-hmm. I took the day off today. I gave myself a me day.
Nice.
And slept in 3 nights, maybe 4. So I dropped Elijah off at school after his ortho appointment and then went home and just slept and rested for about mm-hmm. 6 hours. It was about 9 o'clock and woke up. Set my alarm for 1:30. Woke up because I knew I wanted at least 4 or 5 hours, and then I was like, nah, I'm not ready.
Good day. Like,
no, it was 3 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I just needed it. And it wasn't like a continuous 6 hours of sleep, yeah. but it was just good to lay there. And
you
not,
needed to be rested. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then here we are here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I've been sleeping horribly the past few nights too.
It's been terrible.
I can second. Yeah. I haven't slept either.
Saturday night started. I did
something in the water
Friday, and then Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was
something in the water.
Awful.
I'm the same way. I normally walk on Tuesday mornings with Augie, and I woke up because my alarm was 4:45, and I had been up since 2:30, and I think I didn't go to bed till 11:30, and then it was 2:30, and I was like, and I just lay there, I tossed and turned, so when my alarm went off, I texted him. I'm like, dude, I've been up since 2:30, and like haven't really had any sleep, and I haven't slept the last couple nights, and I told him, I'm like, I'm gonna call it this morning, and you know. Text you later. And so I text him later. And I'm like, hey, just let me know if there's another morning you want to do it. And he's like, I can do it tomorrow morning. So we walked this morning and he said, he goes, the funny thing is he said, I've been sleeping better, but he said, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm ready to go, you know? And mm-hmm. like, so he said, I was awake at 2:30 as well and didn't fall back asleep. And he said, so we could have probably talked at that time, you know? Like, yeah, so he goes, it's actually a good thing that you called. And he said, it worked out pretty well. But mm-hmm. I was like, you never know who the other insomniacs are out there.
Well, since I'm not, like my schedule, my cleaning business schedule is not as busy now. I can get to bed. Like I'm getting to bed decent. Like mm-hmm. Some nights 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know, when it used to be 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
But the problem is like, what was it? Sunday or Monday. I went to bed at 9:30 and woke up at, well, yeah. So I woke up at 3:30. Okay. That's 6 hours, but I don't have to get up till 6:30. So I'm like, I'm trying to get like 8 or 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Could not sleep.
Yeah.
So I was like, are you serious? So 3:30 to 6:30, I'm just, I'm laying there and I'm just like, okay, here we go. So I was like, daggone it. Yeah. So now I can get more sleep and it's not happening, but it's all right.
I know. Monday night, I got to the camper and it's hot. So I was like, I'm not going to fish tonight. So I just sitting there and I was like, getting a little tired. So I laid down. I may have dozed off 10 minutes, and I woke right up, and I was wide awake, yeah. and I didn't fall back to sleep until like after 10 o'clock, 10:30. It's like, come on. 10 minutes isn't enough.
No.
I still can't. No. I get that picture when you say you're fishing with your micropole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Nate and his micropole.
Well, and the other thing, too, like it's been today's day 8 of my new medication.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I guess I can remember if it said or not, but my wife's like, I think insomnia is part of it. So, you know, it takes 4 to 8 weeks, six to eight weeks.
You got that to look forward to.
Yeah, I know. You know, to kick in your system to help what it's for. But then so I don't know if that's it either. I don't know. Like mm-hmm. I said, I just.
I used to be a great sleeper. And like I can say the last year and a half or whatever, I don't sleep much anymore. And sleep is golden. I still tell people that. I'm like, sleep.
It can jack with you.
It's bad. And then I know what you mean about messing. It wasn't like necessarily adding to all that, but it was nausea and like extreme nausea. And it's like, ugh. It just makes you not want to like, you know, and I know there's all kind of different adjustments and your body has to adjust to it. And it sucks, you know. Mm. But yeah, the lack mm-hmm. of sleep is awful.
So,
I didn't know you guys were. Let's just call each other.
Yeah.
What time do you want to call tonight? 2:30, 3 o'clock?
No, normally I can get my brain to shut down pretty easy. But
you're getting up at 3:30 anyway. So you're
these past few days, my brain just keeps going. I just start thinking
about that's the other hard thing.
Ridiculous stuff, and I'm just like, why am I thinking about this stuff?
Jenna points that out to me. She'll say, you fight and sleep like a kid. And I said, I do. And I hate to say this, but it's like, I was telling Augie this morning, that I'm not excited about the next day like I used to be. Yeah. When I was younger, not that long ago, I used to get excited. And there was an imagination. There was creativity. Mm-hmm. There was something to look forward to. And I hate to say that because, you know, I got kids and I got a job and I got all these things. And I'm getting better at it. But I know there are times where it's like, I just, if I go to sleep, this, I'm getting a little bit of the magic that late at night. And I'm thinking, ugh, I don't want to have to start over again. Because I used to feel better in the mornings. But so I'm hoping to get there again. That is my desire. But I admit that's something that I struggle with.
Fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight. Embrace the suck. Are we going to say that again?
All right. We need t-shirts.
We do.
Well, anyway, well, we're glad the creepies are joining us whenever they listen to this episode. Sean, do we have a sponsor for this episode?
We certainly do. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, sir, for that. And we want to thank Creature...
don't you mess this up.
I know. Cultured Creature... Wait a minute, is that right? Cultured Creature. Beard Balm.
Beard Balm. Yeah. You got it.
It's kind of it's CCBB. Kind of what I do now. I botch up the name.
CCBB?
Sorry, Micah.
The spot.
Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Yeah. You still using it, Nate?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's the smell delicious.
Delicious.
Enough to, yeah.
Jojoba.
Give you the munchies.
No. That's one of, what is it? Mince meat? Is it?
Yeah, mince meat. And, yeah. Bot flies.
Bot flies.
Liverwurst.
Yeah, just take liver and onions and rub it over my beard.
I think we just unsold it, by the way.
That's how my wife treats me every once in a while. She's like,
like mince meat?
You got too many smells going on. I'm like, what? One minute you're telling me I'm stinky, and the next minute it's like I smell too much.
Do not diss the jojoba.
Yeah.
Just keep her guessing.
Yep. Keep her on her toes.
Got a midget at a urinal. Well, anyway, we appreciate our sponsor. And
we certainly do.
Yeah. Looking at our show flow notes, it's dad joke time. Anything about that?
I'm excited.
I figured you were.
Let's do it.
Listen to Nate. He's excited. Well, I want to tell you guys in our creepies, I've been trying to tell people about the benefits of eating dried grapes. You know, it's all about raising awareness.
You know it.
That's ridiculous and actually really funny.
All about raising awareness.
Raising awareness.
It's good stuff.
How about that? Creepies, you're welcome. And that is Todd's dad joke of the show.
Say God bless you, but maybe it's goddamn you.
I appreciate it. Every once in a while. Yeah, thank you for that, Todd, to myself.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Sean.
Yes.
First announcements,
please. I have them right over here. We come together for the guy time. We come together for the paranormal. We have lots of fun doing this, and we appreciate that. But the most important thing we do, and we're going to do it every time, is to raise a mental health community and making sure that you guys are getting help out there. We need it. We all need it. We know people that need it. And we want you to go out there and get you some help. So call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. You know, I read that every week,
mm-hmm.
and I still sometimes forget the numbers. Like, it's not that hard. But no, it's like just numbers,
yeah.
Yeah, that's not that hard.
988's easy because we have stickers on our hard hats.
Let's say 988.
So everybody you look at it.
Yeah, I've seen it a bazillion times, and I read it, like said.
Yeah.
And home 741-741 is not that hard.
That's one I don't really think about.
Yeah.
988.
I hear you. Yeah.
867-5309. That's old.
That one I'll never forget.
Never forget that one. Yeah, no kidding.
And the gal that had that number, her name was Jenny.
That's right. You know who sang it? Remember the...
I do, but it's eluding me right at the moment.
You know?
Rick Springfield?
No.
That's the first that popped in my head, but it's not him. I know it's not him.
Didn't they not let... I should know, off, but... didn't they not let him do the guitar part or whatever? Didn't we talk about that? Or no, that was another song. I've got him mixed.
No, one of his songs.
I think it was... was it Tommy Two Tone? That's what I'm thinking. Let's see.
Well, let's do a fact check.
I'm doing it. It's Tommy Two Tone. You're absolutely correct.
Is it? No, yeah, I thought so.
I'm totally mixing that up with another song.
Tommy Two Tone.
Yeah, the what is it? Rick Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
His song.
What's the song? Because you and I took
Jesse's Girl.
Yeah. And that's what. But that's the one that they didn't let him do the guitar part on.
Yeah,
right?
He was in the recording studio. So the legend says, and the producer, engineer, whatever, kept saying that he wasn't playing it right. And he was like, "What do you mean I'm not playing it right? I wrote the song."
Yeah,
so they brought a studio player in to play the guitar part. But yet he plays it live and he plays the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's weird. It's his song. Yeah, it's weird.
That is funny. All right.
Bizarre.
Rick Springfield, man. He's like 71 or 72.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
That's wild. That's really weird. Yeah.
He doesn't look it.
All those guys are getting up there. I like Sammy Hagar. He's 70-something now.
Yeah. They're all grandpas.
No, he's 74, I think.
74, yeah.
You want to know who just turned... Well, I don't know if he just turned 80, but who's 80 that's touring? Steve Miller Band. Steve Miller.
Steve Miller.
80.
Yeah.
And
so it was Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
Great. Yeah, he's 83, I think. 82, 83. Anyway, so thank you, Sean,
Keith
for that.
Keith Richards doesn't look a day over 26.
487 years old. He's older than Yoda.
He is, right?
Hey, we've got some special announcements.
You do?
Ooh.
Yeah. The Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024. It will be at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on Saturday, September 21st, starting at 6 p.m. Arrival time for our guest is at 5:15. We have a special guest speaker and friend of the show, Mr. Austin Lawrence. He is a paranormal investigator and author. Tickets are only $10. That's a great deal. And they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of the show. The options for purchasing tickets are PayPal, which is at TWHedges312, Venmo at Todd-Hedges-3. The Cash App is $ToddWilliam12, or you can use good old cash. We will accept that for sure. Hope to see you there for our night of creepy fun. It's going to be fun. So by the time our listeners listen to this episode, it's going to be less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Chris 50s, no change.
That's right.
That's correct.
Well,
pop.
That's right.
Austin wasn't very happy with me. Didn't he? He said he's going to be excited to see you.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's something I said. I don't know what I said the last episode, but
I don't know.
I think I was excited to see Lydia. Mm-hmm. And I downplayed him being there, or maybe I don't know.
I listened to the episode. I can't
some
remember.
Kind of a shot at him. I must have taken because
shots fired.
So many shots I take at him. I don't know which one it was, but no,
they take it personal.
They do. Yeah. He's like, I'm excited to see Todd. Not so much on the show.
But anyway, I hope we see as many creepies as possible.
Yes.
For our live show, it's gonna be coming.
Austin
up soon.
Better be there. Yeah, if not, Liddy's gonna take his place.
He better be there. Although Micah bailed on us last time. No. He had a family full of COVID.
We love you, Micah. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. thank you to our friend Betsy Kulikowski, who filled in just nicely. Anyway, and then we have another Mako meet and greet. It's going to be Saturday, September 7th, back at the Greenwood Happy Haunts.
Is it Mako if it's not all three of us?
I know. I'll be there.
Part deux.
it's their fall festival. It's from 11 to 5. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get there a little bit before 11, and then I think Sean's going to be there a little bit later after mm-hmm. work, and mm-hmm. Nate's going to be putting on a new roof. So
I'll be in Kentucky.
That's all right. But anyway, Greenwood Happy Haunts, be there. We're going to hopefully maybe drum up some more listenership and mm-hmm. maybe some people that want to come to the live show, right?
Yeah, I responded to a thread about that on Facebook.
Yes, I saw it. Why you weren't going to be there.
I was volunteered / told.
You're voluntold?
Voluntold that I am going down there and putting a roof on.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Nathan.
I think Corey was one that said, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Have a
turf war. Still happen.
All the options in the world. I just don't get to choose.
You can breathe.
That's okay. That is okay. You'll be there sometime. Well, you'll be there the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
You're just waiting for your first visit there to be the live show.
It's going to be magical. I mean, fairies are going to be floating around, fireworks, shooting stars.
I didn't have that in the
plans.
It's
quite theatrical.
I had my notes for the live show. It's interesting. Fairies and what?
Unicorn with a rainbow that fires out of its butt, you know.
Anything but caravan.
It's going to be magical.
Do unicorns neigh? I don't really know.
Well, we hope we see creepies at the live show and the meet and greet. So
I swear I'm living in another dimension. I swear that Nate's been there, but he really hasn't.
I have not been there.
It's so funny.
Every
because
time
I keep
we
thinking,
set something up, I have something else on the agenda, unfortunately.
I've had like most of my kids there, and I know Todd's had. Mm-hmm. Elijah there.
I've been there about 18 times.
I'm lucky just to get home most
yeah,
weeks.
I understand. No problem. Scott and Corey know. They know.
You want to know the last time I was in Greenwood? Yeah. I can't even tell you.
Not for a happy hunt?
That's funny. I've been to Greenwood a lot, either depending on if I'm going to visit Greenwood Happy Haunts or take the kids to the mall. They like Greenwood Mall.
So. Mm. I haven't been there. I used to live down there, so I used to be out there all the time, but even downtown and Giacomo's Pizza and all that good stuff. Mm. But yeah, I only go there mainly anymore for sports of all sorts.
Well, good. That's good.
Oh. and now Greenwood.
Let's get to the topic. How about that?
Absolutely.
Then we can continue this conversation.
Oh, right.
What are we going to talk about, Sean?
We are going to have our creeped out freestyle number ocho.
And people are
I got
listening.
That number
they're
right,
probably going,
eight. What's ocho?
They're all going, isn't that what you're doing?
Isn't that what you're doing?
Yeah, right. We've already started.
We've,
yeah.
We figured it out already.
Like, stop. Save it for the air.
Oh, freestyle. Creeped out freestyle. Mm-hmm. How about that? So
yeah, we had other plans, but they didn't pan out. So
we had a guest, but
we're pivoting.
Yeah, and we'll have her on. So mm-hmm. I won't mention who it is. But
it's a really big deal.
Anyway. So, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we pivoted to the creeped out freestyle number 8. I'm going to start.
Yes.
The reason I'm going to start is because, have you guys seen Them, the series? It came
not.
Out about 2 years ago.
I have not. You've told Netflix. Us about it. That's really good.
Now, this one is set back into the 60s. I think
you said it's
late
a 50s
or
a
60s.
Series?
Yeah. Okay. Like 8 to 9, 10 episodes. And now the second one came out. The second season. It's
second
called.
Season.
Is it called Those?
They.
Them, Those, They.
No. The first one is literally called. Okay. So the second season of Them is called Them, The Scare.
Mm.
Wow. It's. I mean,
it's good,
Andy and I just finished it, I believe, 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Something. Anyway. Amazing. It's
I'll check it
it's
out.
It's got the creepiness, paranormal, and a lot of trauma, family trauma. Mm-hmm. So the first one was set like in the late 50s, early 60s, mid 60s, and then this one is set in like 91, 92, around the like Rodney King, mm-hmm. you know, the LA police, all that stuff, the riots.
Marky Mark and Funky Bunch.
Yeah, actually. Okay. Actually, I think they're in it. No, but.
That's
anyway,
a highlight of it.
Anyway, but no, we finished
it
that.
It's creepy.
And so I've been, yeah, I think I posted on our Facebook group. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've been dying to talk about this. So yeah, go watch Them and then Them, The Scare. So
sweet.
And, man, we've been on a hot streak with movies, too. I don't know about you guys.
I have, too.
You've been sharing.
We watched, I think. 2 or 3 movies on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
It's unusual for us to
we watch
sit
two Friday.
Just watch.
Yeah.
Sit and watch movies.
I miss doing that. I used to love to do that. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We watched a movie Friday, the first movie, and I'm going to look it up, but the guy, the main character, so the actor, I'm like, man, the way he's talking, his mannerisms, everything. I was like, man, he's like a young Clint Eastwood. And so, and I like looking up the cast, and I look, and I looking up, you know, ages and what. It's his son.
Yep.
I was like, holy cow.
I heard he has a series or whatever that just came out, or a movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's a psychopath. He's an ex like assassin. And so he's going through therapy. He's trying to
deprogram.
Yeah, basically. But then he gets roped in. Yeah. Anyway, it was so good. I'm going to look it up, but, watch that Friday. And
do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for him to say.
You know who does?
Does
a good impersonation of Clint Eastwood? Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
he does a lot of good impersonations of a lot of people, but
he can mold his face.
Yeah. Scott Eastwood is the actor. And man, look at that. If that's not a young Clint Eastwood, you know.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is
yep.
The squint, you know. The,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ruggedly handsome.
Put a cowboy hat on and
oh, man,
it's
he was,
on.
Yeah, I was like the whole time I'm going, boy, this is... You know, it's like I'm watching a young Clint Eastwood.
It's because I am.
So son. The name of the movie is Dangerous.
Dangerous.
It's 2021. Okay. Dangerous. Excellent movie. It's got really good action, good actors, and it's got some little bit of humor, but it's, you know, mainly a serious drama. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think of the other then we watched a movie. Man, it was, again, really, really good, but it's just like a little disturbing. I don't know any of the actors, but it was about a guy. He's on the spectrum. He's got some things going on. Local, you know, small local town in, I think, Mississippi or Arkansas, something like that. And I'm sorry, it's Pennsylvania. And a little boy goes missing, 6-year-old. They find him in a river or something like that. He's been killed. So this guy is a trash man, and he's sitting the kid. Knows the route, so he's always waving out his window, and the guy doesn't see him. He's like, what's going on? You know, so he starts asking about him, finds out that he's been murdered, and now his quest is to find out who did it, and he's kind of getting the runaround from the local police, and it's a good movie. I'll have to think about it, but we've been on a hot streak, though. Like, we've been watching two movies probably every Friday night for the last few weeks, so, and the series that, like I said, that was good, so. I don't know about you guys. Like you said, you watched.
Yeah, we watched. We're sitting there, and Rachel's like, is there a movie we can watch or something like that? So I don't know. Let me look. So I start going through all the different apps and everything. Finally got over to Netflix, and I found two on there. First one I came across was called Land of Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is The Union. So Land of Bad has, I believe, Liam Hemsworth in it.
Oh, okay.
And then The Union has Mark Wahlberg and what's-her-face played Catwoman.
Halle Berry?
Yeah, Halle Berry. Yeah. Yeah. For whatever reason, my mind went to Tyra Banks.
Oh.
I don't know why. I knew it wasn't her. So I let it be Rachel's pick. She's like, "Well, let's watch that Land of Bad. Amazing, great movie if you like war flicks." It was modern warfare. Liam played a drone tech or whatever, but he had to go out in the field with a 3-man squad or whatever.
Yeah,
because some high priority target. I think it was another military guy that got captured. And in the, I believe, Philippines, somewhere over in there. So they went in there to try to extract him. And, of course, all mayhem breaks loose. Mm. And he's running for his life, has very little battle skills because he's normally...
He's a drone guy.
Behind a computer
type
thing. So, it's really, really good. So good. I mentioned it to the guys at work, and my foreman Shane, he came in the next morning. He's like, I couldn't get up this morning. I started that movie. I had
couldn't
to finish,
finish
it. And it was awesome.
That's funny.
So, couldn't help
no,
but
it's very
it
good. It is slightly gruesome in certain parts. I don't know. Close your eyes, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like gory, like tons of blood everywhere, but yeah, some it's very graphic, certain, yeah. certain parts.
Gotcha.
So then we got done with that, and I was like, want to watch The Union? She's like, sure, we're not doing anything else.
So Go for it.
We sat and watched that. Very interesting premise of a movie. Basically, The Union is sort of like a FBI, CIA type agency, but they're sort of worldwide, and they're an intelligence, anti-terrorism type group, but the whole premise of them is you don't know who the agents are, and they have numerous weapon caches all around, hidden. You know, they just like touch a button somewhere, and a door pops open, and there's a machine gun, and just
it's like Men in Black.
Yeah, sort of. Well, but it is pretty cool that's premise.
That's the one with Mark
Wahlberg and Halle Berry. Yep.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Pretty good. I enjoyed it, and it's sort of like a comedy slash thriller or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So nice. I mean, there's funny parts in it, but a lot of action, a lot of things blowing up. And
I remember that. I can dig that. A Dark Place is the other movie that I watched, watched. It's the one with the guy that's just dead set on finding who killed this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
A Dark. That was It's a 2018. The guy that plays the main character who's trying to find the killer. He's a great actor. So anyway, yeah. So what about you, Sean? Any movies? Any series?
Jen and I do a good job at keeping up with the House Hunters. No, it's on like episode or season 200 and some or other. No, we actually, that's about what
that back in the
90s. We do watch that together. But we watched Ghostbusters, the most recent one, because you guys did
Frozen Empire.
Didn't you both see it?
Yep.
Amy and I watched the movie theaters.
And I didn't see it there. It was okay. Like, I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but I don't know if it would have been different if I saw it.
Oh, you
the
didn't?
Theater.
You thought
I feel
it's okay. It wasn't as good as the most recent one.
Yeah, I
think
I think the first
one. I feel like they tried it too much too fast.
Yeah.
Is what I felt like. It was okay.
A lot of people were saying it was horrible. I don't think it was horrible.
I don't think it was horrible.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think they could have done better. But I mean, there's still some nostalgia. It was awesome to see the old Ghostbusters. I did like the premise. I love that. What I did like about it, and not to give anything away, was that first scene where the firemen come in, mm-hmm. and the frozen room, and all the guys, the secret society, or the adventurers, or whatever. And then I love that because I thought, oh, this is going to be really good. And I think I had it so blown up in my head from that one scene that I was just like waiting for it to get like super good, and it just was like okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the baddie was pretty cool, and you know, I liked some of the scene. Like I said, love the original Ghostbusters when they come into it. I liked when he comes in there, Phil or Venkman, Peter Venkman. I don't know why I said Phil, but he comes in there and he's like, anybody needs some courage? And he pulls out the
liquid courage.
Liquid courage. Yeah, he pulled out the flask. I was like, yep, that's totally Dr. Venkman right there. Or when he was doing the experiments,
it.
You know, and he's like looking over, you know, like throwing a pin in the guy's face, you know, like, ow, why are you doing that? You know, he's making him mad. I enjoyed that kind of stuff. So it had some really good parts, but it was just overall, it was kind of like, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because I thought, man, I'm going to love this movie. But it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Cut his mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just cut it.
No, it was enjoyable.
No,
not as good as the first remake, movie, but or the continuation.
Yeah,
but
I got tears in my eyes on that one with you. Yeah. I really did. Who cries it?
I always think about, did I waste my money at the theater, and I don't feel like I did.
No, well, that's good. I enjoyed it. Yeah,
and I wonder if I would have liked it more on the big screen. I don't know. We watched it just on Netflix, but yeah, it was okay. It reminds me what you're talking about, the guy that's going after the kid that was kidnapped. I heard a story, and this isn't. I can't remember if it was Reddit or whatever, but this was like actually told, and it was talking about, it was set in, I forget what war, it might've been World War II. And, it had these guys, again, I'm not sure. I don't remember the details perfectly. I probably shouldn't tell since I don't know it exactly, but, they were in the midst of war, and in this particular town they were in Europe, there was kids kept going missing. And they were like, what in the world? And then one of the privates was gone too. And they're like, where are all these people going? Like, what's going on? And it began, I mean, the way they told it, it was like super creepy. And like the fact that there was something, you know, they were thinking it was some kind of paranormal thing or, you know, a killer on the loose or whatever. And they basically finally found this, tracked a guy that was running through the, you know, through the wilderness. And it was just a shadow figure, you know, and they're like, oh my God, what is this going to be? Is it a monster? Is it what a, you know, serial killer? They track him to this cave. And as they track this thing into the cave, it shoots at him. And so they shoot back, you know, these two soldiers, and they shoot back, and then the gunfire stops. And they find this missing private, and they shot him basically right through the head. Mm. And they find this cave full of half-eaten children. Ooh. And it was like he went on this, he just lost his mind. And so I, you know, being on, like I said, it was like Reddit or, you know, one of those things. So it's like, I'm not sure how true it is, but it's super creepy the way I loved it. Mm-hmm. The fact that it, I mean, it's awful the way it ended, but it was just interesting. Like, oh my gosh, where's this going to go? You know, but it wasn't a movie, but it was just a really good, well told story. But it's like awful, you know, because like, where'd all these kids go? So they were hoping that that ended better, you know, with kids being found and stuff. But the guy was totally like stealing them, eating them, and keeping them in his cave. It's like, ugh.
It's pretty gruesome.
Not Saving Private Ryan for sure.
Well, I've not seen that. And I don't, because I don't like war movies.
So. Mm. Yeah. Oh, I love war movies. I do
not like them. I like never them. Have.
They're hard to watch sometimes, but yeah, I do like them.
There have been some good ones if you're into those.
It does remind me of
Hacksaw Ridge. That was a really good one.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
Hacksaw Ridge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who's the guy that was in that?
Andrew Garfield.
The guy. Yeah, the guy that plays. I was going to say the guy that plays Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's a medic that refuses to carry a weapon.
True story.
It is a true story.
I do remember the name
and
of it.
And he saves all these people.
But it's funny.
He hauls them straight up the...
Yeah, there's a cliff, and they have a cargo net.
Or he hauls
net.
Them down. I'm sorry, he hauls them down, not up. But
cargo net that they have to climb to get on top of this ridge, this Hacksaw Ridge. And it's funny, though, because like they do in a lot of movies, it's exaggerate things. If you actually look at the real picture of him standing on top of the ridge in the movie one's like three times taller.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they make it look.
But no, very, very heroic what he did.
Yeah.
He didn't like guns, so he never carried his gun.
And he got a lot of heck for it, you know.
And yep, he got a lot of heck for it, and but he saved a numerous amounts of people.
I've heard the story, but yeah, I'm
just
not.
It's very
pure,
inspiring.
Pure
very, very
bravery.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, so. Where he didn't absolutely did not have to go back to the battlefield where people were, some of them were annihilated, another of them, but there were several that were still surviving, and he knew it, and so he went back to save some, and then he found other ones. Every time he went back, there were more people that were like still there, alive, and like, I'll come back for you, I'll be back for you, and so he just kept making trips, and I forgot how many he saved, but it had to be exhausting to do that, but it's an awesome movie. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It was a good one.
That reminds me of when was it one the first or second Naked Gun when they're coming out of the theater and they're laughing and then the camera pans up, it's Platoon.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, all right.
It's like, oh, you're thinking of just watching
it's a
comedy.
Good movie, but yeah, it's not a comedy. Hamburger Hill was another.
Oh no, yeah. I have never I don't think my dad we liked, you know, my dad since he was
he
a
like
kid.
Westerns?
Oh, loved Westerns. Yeah, he had over 100 videotapes of Westerns from classics to the B movies. He liked even the ones that are like, oh my gosh.
The spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah.
Those are Clint Eastwood, yeah.
So I always loved Westerns. I just not into the war movies.
Do you know why those were called spaghetti Westerns from the Clint Eastwood ones?
I remembered it one time, but it eludes me.
The director's Italian. Can't think of his name. I should probably look that up, but... So they were called spaghetti because he was Italian.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
One thing, if we want to go to like creepy paranormal-ish stuff, I just listened to an interview with this Luis Elizondo, I believe is this his last name. He's a former U.S. Army counterintelligence agent, and he was asked to be part of the Pentagon's UAP program. This is on another highly known podcast called Joe Rogan.
Joseph Rogan. I hadn't listened to that one yet. Is it good?
It is very, very good because he has firsthand evidence that he has gone through videos and I mean, he more or less says there's stuff out there.
Really?
And there's stuff in our ocean. He said they.
He
couldn't like go in particulars because a lot of his expertise is just like a airway type stuff. He had nothing really to do with nautical, but okay. he did say that like he's been privy to seeing and hearing stories from first encounters, people that there are these black round disc things under the ocean that get close to the surface, and they have them on radar and stuff, traveling 100 to 200 knots.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever, not disturbing the surface of the water. Wow. And they dwarf anything that we have out there.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that a lot.
And they said there's a helicopter crew with a Navy SEAL frogman. They'd go out, they'd test rockets and shoot them out in the ocean and then go and retrieve them. Just, you know, testing them, seeing what they do and getting mm-hmm. data and stuff. And their account is they went out there, and as they came down and the frogman's on the rope getting lowered down to this rocket to attach to it to pull it back up in the Huey, one of those things came up underneath and like the sea started boiling moving and stuff, and it sucked the rocket down.
Oh. Was he okay?
Yeah, yeah. They all survived and got out of there. I mean, it didn't come after them or nothing.
Okay.
All
right.
So yeah, bye bye rocket. Yeah.
That is
yeah.
very, there goes our very data. Interesting.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. I totally believe all that.
And he said that, like, are they extraterrestrial? Are they from other places in the universe? They don't have any definitive answer about that, but they do know that there are some anomalies here on Earth with us.
With a lot of technology that we're unable to explain. Or
So it was a really good interview. Very eye-opening.
Like ocean and you know, mountainsides, you know, they say that, yeah, that's where
a
lot of the aircraft go. You know,
we're lucky if we know 10% of our ocean right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. They said, I heard somebody telling the story about Roswell being where there was actual, you know, how there's so much like cover up with all that and weather balloon, this and that. And they said, no, it was actually two spacecraft, and one of them got away and then one of them didn't, and one of them crashed. And then it went to, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, which I believe that's true as well.
Mm. So, yeah. There,
you know, I think that's all covered. You're like, oh no, that was a weather balloon. It's like, no, we just, you know, because there was information that came out about
a weather balloon.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, we're just, no, that's not true. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just so suspect.
No, he says that like all the video that has been released to the public of some, you know, the three classic entities or whatever, ships. He's like, no, the Pentagon has, you know, high resolution videos and radar data and just, they have a lot of stuff that goes with it.
I would imagine.
I think there's, especially with the Freedom of Information Act and all that kind of stuff. It's
but
like,
it does, they don't,
all
yeah.
All that information. And it's.
They only release what they want to release.
Right. Oh, national security.
Oh, yeah. And that's what he's advocating for, is like, the people need to know. This country is by the people, for the people.
It's just
that
like,
hasn't been for a long time.
I know. Yep. And that's what his stink about it is, and why he still has his secret clearance and everything for access for all this stuff, because he still helps them from time to time. So he's been cleared through the Pentagon to say certain things, but there's a line, and he told Rogan, is like, I am more than comfortable to come up to that line. I just cannot cross that line. Mm. So
I think I've heard, what'd you say his name again?
Luis Elizondo.
Because the more you're talking about him, like what he's talking about, I think I heard him on a podcast.
He's been on other podcasts.
About the Freedom of Information Act and all the things that he's trying to push and trying to get.
And a handful of guys are.
Yeah, and I don't know what podcast, but I did hear, and, you know, it was a Latino name or Hispanic name, and I'm like, okay, I think I did hear that guy on the show. Yeah, he's really good.
Well, and he gets in the whole thing of he asked his dad. He knew something was wrong with his dad. His dad wouldn't come out and tell him that he was, like, you know, terminally ill or anything like that, but he could sense it. He could tell. So he started spending a lot of time with him and having some deep conversations with him. And he asked his dad about what I'm trying to remember exactly how he worded it. More or less, like, what is the worst thing that could be the downfall for society or for our democracy or whatever? And, you know, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, have their opinions of what is big and huge and all this other stuff. But his dad came back to him and said, corruption.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's like, corrupt government and blah. He's like, no, individual corruption, anything that gets corrupted. So if it doesn't matter if it's political or whatever, mm-hmm. marriage or whatever mm-hmm. it is, if you choose to be corrupt about something, then you're down that path of corruption,
yeah.
which then starts tainting everything, then starts changing everything, and then it dictates your answers to things because you're choosing a side. And yeah. it's like, yeah, if people can just keep from being corrupt,
it'll never happen either.
Yeah. And that's what he says.
I mean, like, well, human nature.
Adam and Eve screwed that up.
There's a lot of politician stuff there in Washington. They are there for the right purpose. They are trying to do what they can do. There's just that small little fraction of them that are corrupt. And it makes it hell.
But they override the good.
You know. Yeah, to get anything accomplished.
No, I know.
And that's the whole thing he is saying with his agenda of trying to thinking that, you know, a lot of the stuff needs to be out here in the open. People are ready for it. People need to know about it. It's their country. It's getting more and more interactions with all these things. It's not a secret anymore by any means. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, it's time to release some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, I agree. The corrupt people have their agenda of what they want to do, you know?
They're
in power.
But that was pretty enlightening. Mm.
There was a talk about, like, presidents that will say, oh, you know, I get elected, I'll release that kind of information, mm-hmm. or I'll release the Kennedy files and we'll show who killed him. And I mean, even Trump said that, like, I'm going to release this stuff. And then I want to say that he released everything, but 1% or 5% or whatever of it, and then it tried to advocate for pushing, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it went silent. And Robert Kennedy Jr. was talking about how he's like, as soon as I get in there, that's like what I'm one of the things I'm gonna do is release that file that mm-hmm. needs to be released to show the public, like, we need to be transparent. And that's like something that's so old that should have been come to surface by now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but they're saying, like, Kennedy's death and, you know, John F. and Robert Kennedy and then Martin Luther, John Lennon, all the people that were trying to really push for things that were against whatever government agencies or, you know, secret government or whatever the heck you want to think it is, or CIA, which I'm sure that's what it is. You know, that it's against their agenda. You know, they we can't have peace. No, we got to have some more war. That's what makes us the money. That's what keeps us in power. It's like, such BS. Well,
and Luis, he said, I mean, I'm all in favor for stuff that is, what do you call it, sensitive to defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I understand keeping that hush and you don't want to show all your cards in a poker game, you know. That's understandable. But all this other stuff, I mean,
it's frustrating.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jimmy Hoffa was, abducted by aliens, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
I listen to all these, you know, I've talked about mafia and mob podcasts. I think they're going about it wrong.
Yeah. Just aliens. For the aliens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Bigfoot. Got it.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Could have been one of those underwater things that sucked them up with missiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you never know. I got to go back to Spaghetti Western, though. I'm just going to read this real quick. Spaghetti Western is a broad subgenre of Western films produced in Europe. It emerged in the mid-1960s in the wake of Sergio Leone, or is it Leone's? Leone, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leone's filmmaking style and international box office success. The term was used by foreign critics because most of these Westerns were produced and directed by Italians.
Gotcha.
So, and those happened to be a lot of, I thought it was all Clint Eastwood, but maybe not.
Well, I don't think I knew that, by the way. I mean, I've heard of spaghetti westerns. I don't know if I knew the
This says spaghetti westerns, reason. Also known as Italian westerns or primarily in Japan, Macaroni, Westerns. In Italy, the genre is typically referred to as Western a la Italiana, and Italo-Western is also used, especially in Germany. So
I don't think my dad had any spaghetti Westerns, but man, he has some, man, he has some classics though. You know, you ever watch High Noon? You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great one. That, so my dad, you know, because he passed. By the way. You know what? Never mind. I'm going to wait. So, but he had all these movies, and he had them on a shelf. He built a shelf in his bonus room, his office room, whatever, and he had them all displayed, right? And he's like, you ever seen High Noon? I'm like, Dad, I've never heard of that. He's like, oh, yeah, you got to watch
that.
Great. I'm drawing a blank. Who's the main actor? The guy, the one that was waiting because he knew the guy was coming off the train.
Dang it.
Daggone. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, so that was one of the movies I'd borrow every once in a while.
Oh, Gary Cooper. That's what, yeah, is on my
So, yeah, and I remember borrowing
Lloyd Bridges is in that, too. Yes. I forgot about that. But
Gary
Cooper
young.
Too. Yeah.
Like, Lloyd Bridges, like, in his 20s. Mm-hmm. but, yeah, High Noon. Always love that movie. Yeah.
Hang 'em High is another one. That's a good one. Yeah. El Dorado, however you want to say it.
I've seen that one.
Oh, that's great. That's John Wayne. That's a fantastic
one. That was my dad, one of his heroes, was John Wayne. So, Wayne. He had all the John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Yeah, he had a bunch of, man. I don't know if my mom kept them or not. I'll have to see. It'd be fun. Just to have them.
I love me some John Wayne. I've watched about all the John Wayne. My grandparents loved old Westerns, and we used to watch them together. And I watched, after my grandfather passed, my grandmother and I would watch them over and over again. And then I love Clint Eastwood ones, too, though. I love those. And then
and he's great when he's
Dirty Harry, too.
Yeah, the cop.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
I like when he goes in the cafe and he order, you know, and she knows his order but doesn't give him the right order. And he's like, goes back in. What does he say? Like, I know usually I order my, or it's the way he gets his coffee. Mm-hmm. And she didn't do it right.
Yeah.
And knew that because she wanted him to come back. Mm-hmm. Is that Dirty Harry? I'm trying to blank. If that's Dirty. That's when the cafe is getting robbed.
Yeah.
He pulls out the, you know, he's like,
yeah, he's like, I can't, in all of this commotion, I can't remember if I've gotten off 5 shots or 6.
Right. I love
so
it.
So, do you
like,
feel lucky? Or, you know, I have to ask you, you feel lucky, punk? Yeah.
Because she's like, she doesn't quite make us call.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can't,
I love that scene, though. It's a great, they play it all the time on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, he's great at in the Westerns and the, you know, like city cop type roles. But yeah. No, war movies never. Appeal to me, but yeah, definitely Westerns. I mean, I've seen some like Civil War movies or some series. That's okay.
From Here to Eternity is a great one, though. Like, that's an old war movie.
Yeah,
that's got
that.
Frank Sinatra in it, John Wayne. It's a ton of actors.
One movie I always loved, Clint Eastwood, Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, yeah, both of them are great. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right Turn, Clyde.
Right Turn, Clyde.
That's a orangutan.
Tears the door off the car.
Yeah. Got the motorcycle gang. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Right Turn, Clyde. Because weren't we talking about orangutans last week?
About Pete Peterson, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good they got loose. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's a good one. They actually played that on TikTok not too long ago. And, another movie. Burt Reynolds was great. And, all the Smokey and the Bandits and Jackie Gleason. Oh my gosh, those are so. They never get old. The Smokey movies, and that's the first car I noticed. I'm like, wait a minute, this car is different than the one we got. I think we had a station wagon at one time or whatever. I'm like, his car is a little bit cooler. That was the first car I fell in love with, like sports car. Yeah.
How did Jackie Gleason say it? And I know that family friendly, but it was you son of a bitch. Always say
we say at work
heavy exit
when he's he comes up on those three boys, those teenagers, and he knows that they're the ones that, you know, that they did he's like, boy, he goes, hey boys, he goes, you seen what is that scene, Nate? I'm trying to think of. He comes up on them on the like side, like a highway or something, And he's like vandals, you know. Have you ever seen? He's like, no, sir. He's like, okay. And it, but anyway, he lines him up. He goes, tells him to get against the car, and he kicks the one in the butt. He goes, that's an attention getter. but he's giving the riot act. He's like, you know, did you see a you know, basically, did you see a guy like smoking the band? He's like, yeah, bandit one. You know, he's came through not too long ago. He's like, okay. And then he's like, all right, well, he goes, I'll be back. He goes, now don't move. You can think it, but don't do it. So we always say that at work. You can think it, but don't do it. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great movies.
It makes me think of Cannonball Run, too. I was talking to somebody the other day.
Yeah.
That's Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
A guy that I ran across in the last couple of weeks, he reminded me of Dom DeLuise. I said, you look so much like Dom DeLuise. And I said, and then we were talking about Cannonball Runs, and oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I remember watching
the
both
ambulances.
Of those, yeah. Oh, I loved it. Oh, my gosh. They had the
Sammy Davis Jr. and
Dean Martin
were
they're in the Corvette.
The two
women, Adrian Barbeau, I think it was Adrian, and the blonde, they were, or no, I'm sorry, Catherine Bach.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was Daisy Duke, right?
And the blonde, they were in the Lamborghini Countach.
Well, remember when the police officer pulls them over and they like unzip their blouse and
then
it's a female. How may I help you, officer? Oh, never mind.
Dean Martin and Sammy Davis, they had the C4 Corvette. And then they had a young Jackie Chan. He's the
that's right.
I mean, they got that like Mitsubishi. And they got all the digital electronics.
Yeah,
crazy. I love those movies though.
The Sheik is in
He was in MASH. He played the series MASH. I'm drawing a blank on his name. The Sheik. Who else? Man, they had so many actors and actresses. Shirley Jones was in it. Oh my gosh, Creepies! Are you remembering?
we're all struggling.
Jamie Farr.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, that was in MASH. He played the Sheik. Classic.
Roger Moore.
Oh yeah, Roger Moore. Yeah, he had the Aston Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I love those movies.
Here's what's funny. It gets a 6.2 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't.
It's so stupid. But so I saw Tombstone the other day, and it only gets like a 7 out of 10. I'm like, you got to be
kidding. It's a 12 out of 10.
You got to be kidding me. Yeah.
No.
I don't listen to critics.
No. No, there's so many movies I've liked, and they've gotten bad reviews, and then there's some I'm like, they just go on and on about how great they are, and I'm like,
That's so stupid. Yeah, I don't listen to that
Not
stuff
good.
Either.
So I don't, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Yeah.
No, it's just fun to talk about movies like that.
I posted that Bill Paxton, only person to be killed on screen by a Terminator, Alien, and Predator, and Margot Sheets, she said, and Cowboys, you forgot about his role as Wyatt Earp's brother in Tombstone. I was like, this is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He played Morgan.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course.
Yeah, he was, poor Morgan got shot in the back playing pool. Sad scene.
I was going to ask you guys off air, and I don't know if I want. Who's the guy trying to sell stuff constantly on our? Is there somebody like? Have you seen this?
What?
I saw it twice. I think
there's twice. Yeah, there's two things.
Somebody's trying to sell
Taylor Swift
tickets,
and then but some other some car or something too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you seen that? You haven't seen that one?
Oh,
do you know? Is that legit? Is it legit?
Brian Krober. He's legit.
He
works at the tax office that I clean.
So there's so then there was a car information too, but then it showed it that it was like timed out. It eventually times out after a couple of days, and I thought I didn't know him, so I was going to ask him. I was like, is this
guy.
Okay, cool. Sorry, Brian. But I was like,
I don't think he listens. No, maybe he does. I don't know. Hi, Brian. Yeah.
Well, he's put like three things, and two of them are the Taylor Swift, and I was like, is that for real? Or you know, because I don't know. There's so many like people out there or bots or whatever, and it's like I couldn't tell. So,
I only saw one like that. Okay. I don't know if I did even that. But yes, he's I know he is. He's a good guy. I'm trying to think. Well, we're caught up on Cobra Kai, the last season, so we watched that. Well, they're actually the last season, which they're breaking up in halves. So we watched the first half of the last season. So I'm like, and then the next one's not until like January, February. I'm like, what? What kind of nonsense is this?
Gotta
let's get right to it. No, I don't like to wait. No, but we have. We have been on a good mm-hmm. streak. Oh, we watched, this is about a month and a half ago. We watched Air with about the story of Michael Jordan,
yes,
how he uh-huh. signed with Nike.
Which is good. Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we watched
a lot. And you talk about a lot of actors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of actors.
It was excellent.
And it just takes me back to, I mean, I was, '82, '84. So his he left after his junior season, which would have been 84. So I was 13. And just that period of sports, period, baseball, basketball, football. I mean, the 80s, man, you can't beat it. But, yeah, when Jordan, you know, they wore Converse in college at North Carolina. And then, yeah, then they had the whole bidding war on, you know, Converse, Adidas, Nike. And he almost signed with Adidas. And
mm-hmm.
Nike got him.
His mom.
I think it turned out pretty well for both.
His mom was integral.
I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, for both.
It's funny when they go to see him and
at the house.
They deal with his mom.
Oh, yeah.
And
dad just.
Mr. Jordan. He's sitting there working on the car and he's like, Mrs. Jordan's in the house.
Yeah.
You know,
she's
the boss. Yeah, whatever she says.
Yeah. That's,
she's a shrewd businesswoman.
You know, and it reminded me, man, when his dad got killed in 93, I think, mm-hmm. 92. 90, yeah, so sad. Because I know they're really close, but yeah, that was just a fun movie because they're talking about, you know, they're going through the draft and like, okay, now what about, you know, they're naming all these players. I'm like, oh my gosh, what a great draft that was, 1984, John Stockton, Charles Barkley, you know,
a lot of greats.
Oh yeah, fun. But no, that was a little bit ago, but yeah. So what else is going on, you guys? What else is that we can borrow our creepies with? No. Hopefully some people are getting a kick out of this. I don't know. Let's see. We were talking about, you know, like ages of rock stars and musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make me feel like I was talking to my mom the other day, Monday night or last night. And I was like, just talking about, you know, we're all getting older, you know, that's how it is. And I still feel like Steve Miller. I'm thinking, gosh, when I was
crazy.
Watching him on MTV or the Rolling Stones or whoever, name one. I still feel like they should be in their late 20s or 30s, you know, and it's the same with actors and athletes. But I'm like, 80? How's Steve Miller 80? Like, he should be like 55.
I feel like the Grim Reaper because when songs come on, you know, say like Tom Petty, and I'll tell the kids like, oh, yeah, you know who this is? And nowadays they know a lot of them, you know, because I've drilled it in their heads. But they're like, yeah, it's Tom Petty. I'm like, and he's dead, you know, like, yep.
He died at 66.
Yeah. Lux, we recently lost Jack Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh yeah, I saw that. Great White.
Great White, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Evil Never Dies, they did a little tribute to him.
Yeah, I saw that, yep.
A week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And then I think, sorry Brett, if you're listening to this, I think they did a, because I'm not caught up on, I think I'm only one episode behind. I think they did one of their like midweeks on, yeah. So they did about three or four, yeah, that's right. They just gave like a little bit of a shout out to Jack Russell when he passed. But then this past midweek, they did the review for the Great White Once Bitten review,
yeah,
or song or album, whatever. Yeah, so that's the only one I haven't listened to. They did Holy Diver, Dio, Ronnie James Dio. He's awesome. He passed away too, but he was young. He was only in his 60s. I think he died of cancer.
That's quite
maybe.
Young. yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like Tom Petty, he died I think in 2018?
Yeah. That's
and
before COVID.
So, yeah, 66 years old. I mean, so it'd be 73, but or whatever, 72. 70. And any more that just because, like I said, I'm getting older, so I'm thinking, gosh, really, 72 is young. Or, you know, whatever the age is, whoever.
Like Robert Plant, he's 76.
Yeah.
He's 76, okay.
Mick Jagger's 81.
81, okay.
Ozzy is 75.
That's crazy.
He should be, yeah, he should have lived to 45. But
right.
Roger Daltrey, he's 80.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that old.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Steven Tyler, 76.
Yep.
And you're going to their finale concert, aren't you, in Indy?
Aerosmith? No.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were going.
We were, but then he blew his voice out, and now they've officially retired.
Oh, are they really?
So, yeah. That's right.
Are they really?
He got healed up, and they tried a few shows, and he's just like, no, I can't do it anymore. So
I respect that. I mean, that's too bad, but I respect that where he's not going to just try to do a money grab.
Believe it or not, Axl Rose, 62.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that old, but I guess he is.
Yeah. So he's 9, yeah.
David Lee Roth, he's 69.
It's a good age for him.
Paul McCartney's 82.
I'm sorry.
Wow, Bono's 64. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah, that, those all now see all those make sense.
James Hetfield, 61.
Yeah.
Good for them. Keep going, man. It's crazy. Like Alice Cooper, he's 76.
Yeah. Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie's coming in concert at the Ruoff. I just don't like I like the venue. I've been there three or four times, but I just wish they'd come to whatever it is now. Banker's Life or whatever. I'd just rather just go downtown and instead of having to drive an hour and then sit in traffic. And
Conseco.
Yeah, I want to call it Deer Creek.
It's called something. Yeah, I know.
But yeah, but Rob Zombie, yeah, and Alice Cooper's coming to concert. And I'm like, that's
a couple things there that makes me think. Well, funny, I was listening to when Deer Creek came around and people were going to concerts and they accidentally went to Deer Creek, Indiana.
Oh, yeah, you saw that video. Did you post that?
Somebody did. I don't know who voted. Yeah, but it was like, it was just cute that it was like, you know, oh, yeah, Deer Creek, Indiana is on the map now. It's like but
200
it's like,
people.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're like, they were sweet enough to be like, okay, no, this is where you need to go, you know. But the other thing I was thinking of with Alice Cooper, did you know that he was friends with Groucho Marx? They were neighbors?
No.
And this is funny. I've seen this a couple times, so I know this is true.
They had to be young.
They said he was very young, and the pictures of them together was, you'd have to look that up. But they were neighbors, and Groucho Marx dealt with a lot of depression. And insomnia, actually he came there. They said that a lot of his interviews, you know, cause he was so funny and had dark sense of humor, dry sense of humor, all these things. But they said at the end he was very, depressed. And I'm sure part of that was not getting good sleep, but he, like I said, being friends and, neighbors with Alice Cooper, Alice Cooper being young, he was a partier, he was up late and, they said that Groucho would call him over and say, hey, can you come until I fall asleep? You know, basically Alice Cooper would bring some beers over and they'd watch old movies together and until Groucho would fall asleep. And then Alice Cooper would basically just make sure he was good.
Because he died in 1977. He was 86 years old.
Yeah. So they were. So, yes. And Alice Cooper was very young. They show pictures of them together. And it's really funny that Alice Cooper was like, you know, funny. I mean, can you imagine though? Like that would just be, that's pretty wild. And two worlds collide kind of thing, but they were neighbors and you know, that's, he just obliged him.
He had to be kind of like in his 20s, I guess.
Yeah. It shows. Did you see the picture of him?
No, I was looking at, I wanted to see when Groucho Marx died and at what age. So that would kind of tell me that Alice Cooper would probably be in his 20s back then. I don't know if it was in the 70s when he hung out with him. I don't know, or 60s, but that's funny. That's a cool story, though, actually. Yeah, he lived a good life. Yeah, talking about all those musicians, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, we were talking about Sammy Hagar. Yeah, I think he's 74, 76. 76. He's even old. Gosh, and he still looks great. He sounds great. Has energy. That's like Mick Jagger, man. He has more energy than I do. Three times, ten times.
He has a mobile. I think we talked about that before. He's got a mobile gym travels around with and.
Oh, does he?
He works out
like
crazy.
How does he afford that? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How does he do that? Yeah, that's crazy. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Hey,
I
mean, Geddy Lee, he's 71.
I didn't know he was a big
baseball
collector. There was a video on Facebook.
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
He's like, this he is like a big Mickey
Mantle, Babe Ruth. He has all sorts of balls.
He has them like sorted. Tries to, you know, with
presidents.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't watch the whole. I watched about 2 or 3 minutes of it. No.
Yeah, he has like a sort of like a coffee table type case or whatever, and it's all presidential signatures on baseballs.
Okay. Yeah, because Neil Peart died, 3 or 4 years ago? I think he was 66, 68. Oh,
probably longer than that.
No, you sure? Or, you know why? Because I thought maybe he was like 2020 guy or like one of the 2020, I think Eddie Van Halen died.
2020.
Yeah. How old was Neil Peart?
66,
67. I don't know. Could be younger, could be older. I was thinking of
67.
Yeah. And I was thinking of Glenn Frey of the Eagles. He died. Who's this?
Groucho Marx and Alice Cooper.
Oh, gosh.
This picture of them together.
That is funny. That is, yeah, he's. Yeah, he's in his 20s or 30s, whatever.
It says, sorry, I didn't mean to hit the thing, but this is funny. It says, Comparing entertaining careers, Groucho Marx and Alice Cooper. Groucho Marx and Alice Cooper formed an unlikely bond despite their vastly different careers and personalities. Insomnia and movie nights. When Groucho suffered from severe insomnia, he would call Alice Cooper to join him for a night of watching old movies on TV, accompanied by a six-pack of beer. This unusual arrangement helped Groucho Marx fall asleep. Mutual respect. Alice Cooper has spoken highly of Groucho, crediting him with understanding and embracing his theatrical rock concerts, which Groucho dubbed vaudevillian. Cooper has also mentioned that Groucho called him Coop, a nickname inspired by Groucho's affection for Gary Cooper. Celebrity circles. Groucho's social life included many notable figures, and he would often invite Alice Cooper to join him for events. Cooper has shared stories about attending concerts and backstage gatherings with Groucho, where they would mingle with other celebrities like George Burns, Jack Benny, Mae West, and Fred Astaire. Hollywood sign restoration in 1978, Alice Cooper purchased an O tile to restore the iconic Hollywood sign honoring his friend Groucho Marx. This gesture was part of a larger effort by Cooper and other celebrities to preserve the landmark and personal connection despite their differences. Groucho and Alice Cooper developed a strong personal bond, with Cooper describing their friendship as the highlight of his life. I bet it was too.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It's an interesting story. Groucho Marx and Alice Cooper. Who would have thought?
See, most people would think I'm making that stuff, you know, and I would even I'd be like, that's not true. It's true. I saw that enough that it's like it's been kind of seared in my brain.
And Alice Cooper is an excellent golfer.
Yes, he is. Yep. That wouldn't think so, but yes, he is.
He said it also helped him, get his sobriety. Get his life under. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he, you know, alcoholic all those years, and said, yeah, golf kind of saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else just passed? He was 64. Sid Vicious, the wrestler. Sunday or Monday.
Yep, I saw something about that.
Yeah, he was, man, he was a big dude.
Yeah.
He was a good wrestler.
It's amazing any of those guys.
They're still alive.
Size of them and the torture that they put their bodies through.
Yeah. A lot of them died of either heart attacks or
brain issues.
Yeah.
And
drugs.
Concussions.
Big time drugs. Yeah. Overdoses and drugs.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they're performing. Some of the interviews with Hulk Hogan is like, you know, they'd perform every night and sometimes two times. And, I mean, they're just... Here, take these.
I have watched so many wrestling videos, interviews with pick a video with Kevin Nash or Scott Hall, who had passed a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like, we literally lived on alcohol and painkillers, just to keep themselves going. And then they still put on a show, but it's just I wouldn't take that life at all.
No.
Not for the money or anything.
It was like Hulk Hogan talking about when Andre the Giant told him to pick him up.
Yeah. Slam me.
You got to slam me.
I can't do it. I can't, Andre. Slam me.
Slam me.
Just do it. That's the first
picked
time
him
he
up and he felt every bone in his back.
Yeah, step, yeah. Yep. That was a changing point in his career, but it was also a changing point in his back.
Mm. Yeah. I bend over, pick up a sock, and I throw my back.
Oh,
up.
I know.
It's sad.
Hulk Hedges.
I look. Yeah. I look left and hiccup and
pick
throw
me
my back up.
Yeah. pick me up, Todd.
But yeah, Sid Vicious. Yeah, I think it's saying Sid Udy, Eudy. Mm-hmm. That's how you pronounce the last name. Sydney died of cancer. I guess he had a long battle of cancer. So 64. That's young. Yeah, his daughter was saying how good dad, but he had fought for however long with cancer. But yeah, I saw that yesterday. I think it was. Or Sunday or Monday that he actually passed, but I didn't see the story until yesterday. So that's another. I'm like, man, 64 is young.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these wrestlers, man. I'm like, good grief, they just, their hearts gave out, or they drug overdoses, or But and they're still good number around. Are decently healthy for their
Ultimate Warrior
ego.
Ego.
2014.
Yep. Yep, he's gone.
He's
from Crawfordsville, Indiana.
I know. I saw that.
He was recognized, and then he died like shortly after, or like the day after, the next day or whatever. I mean, it was like.
I wasn't a big fan of his, but Ric Flair. I wish Rick would just give it up because
he looks terrible.
Looks terrible, and I love Ric Flair, but he's
got that like his nose is discolored, almost like it's getting zero blood flow. And I hate to say it, I love him to death, but
it's time.
He is Rick, getting old.
The shtick is. You've done it. You thank you, but let's move. Let's move
I
on.
Know.
Stop with the 27 gold chains and the strutting around. I mean, come on.
I know.
You don't have to be Ric Flair.
I know.
But it's them. That takes it's over. Ric Flair. They can't mm-hmm. separate the persona.
His interview is good,
he
too.
He can't.
He's had some normal interviews where you can, you mm-hmm. know, like, he gets down to earth, but he does still do a lot of social media where it's he's still doing his shtick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some great interviews was with him and Terry Funk together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And they were talking about how they, they played off each other and worked well together, and you know, just talking about how they you know, doing the bouts and hit me, you know, and yeah, doing all the same stuff. Just okay, let's try this. Let's do this. Let's get, you know, they wanted mm-hmm. to give the people their money's worth, you know, and just had a blast. Yeah, but just all those things take me back to great days growing up with MTV and pro wrestling in the '80s. And
what was it, Mankind? Well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Foley, uh-huh. Rick, or yeah, Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, yeah. Yep.
He destroyed himself, yep.
He's still, but you know what? He retired real young. He's only like 60. Like, mm-hmm. he's pretty young, 61, 62.
I just remembered, like, you know, the cage bouts with him, and they'd throw tacks on the mat and body slam each other into tacks.
Well, I guess he.
It's like, oh, my gosh.
He fell one time. And he his freaking teeth went through his lip or whatever. I mean, he was jumping 20 feet off mm-hmm. the cage because he wanted to give whatever he could to sell the match, I guess. No thanks.
That's crazy.
No, I'll just keep doing
what they do, man. It's something.
No, I know. Well, you know, you think
that's what they always say. Is like everybody always gives them a bad rap. Ah, it's fake. It's fake. And it's like, it's entertainment. It's not fake. The concussions are real.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, the storyline's fake, but the actual hitting, it's 90%. You know, every once in a while they'll miss. You know.
Yeah, they're destroying each other. I mean, there are techniques to make it look big and flashy.
Your average guy can't do that, or average woman. You know,
do get hit and hurt.
Why do you think
often?
They're built like that? Because they're not built like me.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be able to take pounding and throw. Mm-hmm. You know. Freaking suplexes off the top.
I always remember Doink the Clown.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
I didn't care for him, but I just remember him being part of it, climbing out
underneath
the ring.
There's like five of them.
Yes.
Bunch of doinks. And bunch of clowns.
One of them was a midget, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a midget one. Coco B. Wild was another one I liked. That was kind of obscure, but what was it?
Oh, you're talking about Coco B. Where?
Did I say Coco B. Wild? I'm sorry. Coco Beware, yes. With the parrot. Yes, yeah, stupid bird, yeah. It was a shtick. But yeah, I remember those things from when I was a kid.
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Macho Man was my favorite. Rick Rude. Road Warriors.
Macho Man.
Creepies. Thank you for reminiscing with us. They're probably some of them will get it, and some of them are like,
some have checked out.
Oh, yeah.
Next episode.
Yep.
I was going
to. We'll get to the paranormal next time.
I was going to tell you that Lydia Carpenter, so this from Randolph Asylum, who's also Austin's Lydia, right? Who will be coming to our live show. That's what they say. And on her Facebook page, it says, we come into this reality as a clean slate, quote unquote, but I'm an etch-a-sketch. And I thought that was funny. And she posted, I totally stole it from her too. She's going to appreciate this. But I liked it. I think it was just today, yesterday or today maybe.
I don't want to brag, but this is a staircase. That's all I can do on an itch sketch.
Oh, yeah. Do, 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 do. Yeah, I can
do that.
I can write my name. No, I can't. When you can't control what's happening, challenge yourself to control the way you respond to what's happening. That's where the power is
mm-hmm.
or lies or which is, and again, that's which is wonderful, and it is that is a hard thing to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought I was getting better at it, and I know I'm still a work in progress, but mm-hmm. emotional regulation is one of the most challenging things, and it's so easy to lose your you know what mm-hmm. from time to time, you know.
Yeah, that's a hard one to remember as far as
it's hard. I don't say that lightly.
You can't control what's happening around you, but you can control how you react to what's happening around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a hard lesson.
Yeah. I'm throw your hands up in the air and say, you know what? Forget it.
Yeah.
At 53 years old, I'm probably worse at it now than I am.
I've seen a video of like when Jesus does take take the wheel, and it shows him in a rally car going.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was awesome. We sent that to each other. Yeah. Right?
And then like the other half of the video is like what actually happens or something like that.
It's
and
like a car upside down, upside going down the road,
sliding down the hill. It's like, yeah, that's my life.
That's funny. That's right. But seriously though, didn't you guys, and I'm sure, I know they weren't perfect, but like grandparents and our parents and all these things, you thought they knew everything, number one, you thought they did. And then
they
got smarter
out.
And better and more like rounded and able to handle things with age. You just assume that and you kind of saw it. And every once in a while you see them lose their crap or, you know, get mad or upset or what. But as I remember, did you go chill too? I just remember thinking, okay, so with age, I'm sitting here like, what the heck am I doing wrong? I blame it on the just the time of we live in right now.
I think it's just for me, I think I'm worse at my age.
I do too.
No, I thought I was bad in my 20s or 30s, but
geez, what I have found,
can't figure out anything anymore.
And again, I don't know nothing. This is just my take on my experiences of living and being around for 43 years. Mm-hmm. Going on 44 in October.
I trade you. Oh. No, I wouldn't actually trade you. I wish I was 93.
I just lost my train of thought.
You're just talking about your learned and your.
Yeah. I remember now. sorry. Took a minute. Middle-aged. Foggy. What I have learned is I had an abundance, a plethora of confidence when I was younger. And the older I get, my confidence gets less and less and less.
Yeah, I'm right there. I do. I feel the same way.
And I've noticed that, like, dealing with, like, younger iron workers in my trade, it's like, they're ready to take on the world. They have all the confidence in the world.
Well, they think they're going
to. They don't care that they're wrong.
There's immortality or an indestructible nature.
Cut me loose. I'm ready to go. And then
I think it's the amount of testosterone.
Now it's like, but then I look at me, it's like, do I make that decision?
All right.
Who do I call?
Well,
who
like
I
need to talk to?
It's slow.
I don't have the confidence anymore.
It's slow and steady, right?
I know. Get in trouble. Someone's going to yell at me. I don't want to fight someone.
Well, that's a totally. Because the older you get, then because you know what
more
cautious the consequences
too.
Could be.
Yeah.
Where you're younger, you don't see it. I mean, son at 13 years old, he's not going to look at it the way I'm going to look at it.
No.
You know, he's riding a skateboard in the middle of the street, and I'm like, He doesn't think that a car is going to come around.
But he has
the
confidence to do that. He's
and me. That's,
brain's not completely developed
I'm
either.
I'm riding my bike on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trusting somebody's going to could look down real quick at their, they dropped their phone or they dropped something. And they look up. So that's what I'm saying. A 25-year-old iron worker is going to look at their approach differently than you are. You've either seen it, experienced it, or you know what could happen, and they just think, "Oh yeah, I'm going to be alive forever, and indestructible."
I truly feel it really chips away at your confidence of decision making. You're not confident in making the right choice because you've seen it go awry too many times.
Right.
Your confidence hurts.
The way I've seen it recently, and I've actually talked to people about this, is not very many people, but like just in confidence, but. I think I've mentioned it on this podcast too, but just in different situations and, you know, things I've been through, I feel like, and it's a confidence thing too, but it's like you lose your voice. And I know that's ironic because I enjoy using my voice, but you think, you know what you should say, you know when you should stand up, you know when you should do the right thing, but sometimes you're just like, I'm just going to save it. Or I've done this 1,000 times,
what's
and what's the point?
Nobody's going to listen.
I got a good example that I won't go into here on the air, but it's like, you know, right, yeah, and where it's like, dude, I did the right thing. I stood up. I said all the right things, and I still get in trouble, so why would I use it? But it is, it's. I'm getting better. I'm getting back to it, but it's a slow road.
Boat
to China. Anyway.
With that confidence, being young, and I got everything figured out. And then you get to our age, and you're just like confidence low, and you're like, I don't have nothing figured out.
And I'm sure that's how our parents and grandparents felt. We just didn't realize it.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
What I'd give to be young and, I guess, dumb and confident.
I remember people used to say to me when I was younger, or us, you know, as kids and younger people, that they would say, you know, youth is wasted on the young, you know, and it's like, what are you talking about? That's not, you know, and I remember I studied developmental life, you know, lifespan development and, you know, all the stages you go through in life. And I remember thinking in my teens and 20s, I was like, this is never going to happen to
They're
me.
They're stupid.
No, I'm going to live forever. And you do. You have this like there's like an arrogance about about you when you're younger. And it's thank God, because you probably wouldn't live very long if you were cautious and careful and didn't take some chances. And but we still, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, even we still take chances. You know, still jumping out there and putting ourselves outside of our comfort zone and things. But I know exactly what you mean, though.
I notice a lot nowadays is I have to be very internal with my thoughts and come to, say I need to make a pretty quick decision on how we're going to do something at work. And it's like, man, am I going to get flack and pushback because of my decision? Am I going to have to sit here and defend my decision of why I chose to do it this way? And so it's a very extreme internal battle mentally trying to figure out what direction I'm going to go. But then at the end of it, I got to sit there and just go, it doesn't matter. I'm making the decision. Whether I'm right or wrong, I'll just own up to it.
That's right.
And I'm just going to make the decision. So it's that's where I feel like if I had more confidence, I'd be quicker at making those decisions instead of having a lot of this internal
like the
dialogue with myself.
I think it's a perception, though, too. I have a guy I work with. He is younger than me somewhere. I honestly don't know how old he is, to be fair. Somewhere between, I'd say, 5, 8, 10 years.
20 and 100.
Younger. Somewhere in his 30s. I don't know. But he and I work together, and he'll mention like, I'm not a very good communicator. I'm not a very good thinker. He's very intelligent. He's an excellent therapist. But he will say, yeah, I just don't think quickly during conversations. And I'm like, really? Because but you see yourself that way. But I think that when I watch him communicating, I think it's very well thought out, and I think he's very purposeful. He'll take those moments of silence, and it's not like, duh, I don't know what I'm doing. It's more like thoughtful approach. And I always tell him, I'm like, I think you're a great communicator because you're slow and you're calm and you're confident there. To me, that's confidence. But he sees it as, I'm not real sure, you know. But I'm like, dude, I wouldn't know that unless without you saying that. But so I think it's a lot about perception or your own your self perception.
I guess I do communicate that way. I do get pauses to unjumble the words in my head, so I feel like I'm saying the correct thing as I'm talking. But again, I lost my thought again.
Ironic. As you're
so
trying
weird.
To prove your point. No.
Yeah. But then there, you know, I take my time, try to be thoughtful, but then in the quickness and the heat of the interaction, it gets done. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, I should have said this. Oh, yeah, I should have said this. Oh, yeah, I should have said that. It's like all these ideas flood in my head that
totally
I should have said. But
I do the same thing.
In the heat of the conversation, not that it's like a combative, but just in the premise of talking with someone at that particular moment, a lot of thoughts don't come to me until I have a time to just sit there and stew about it. And I'm like, dang it. Or it's like those great comebacks, you know, they're like, well, you're a jerk or whatever. You're like, yeah, you know, but then 20 minutes later,
jerk.
It's like, oh man, I could have said this and I could have said this.
I know.
Like,
you're talking about conversations with your wife now. I do that. I'm terrible at that.
Yeah. You just draw a blank in the heat of it.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. I know. I do too. Yeah. It's just like I said, the older I get, I feel like the less I've got things under control, and that shouldn't be that way. Cause I'm thinking at this point in my life, I'm like, no, I should be.
Maybe
should
that's
be a lot
the part
better.
Of the ride. Lose control. Just ride.
We hit the hill, the man. Downhill, right?
That's
90 degree angle.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to mention before we wrap up the
freestyle? No, I've enjoyed this talk, though.
Yeah.
It was fun, kind of reminisce about stuff, talk about movies and music and Wrestlers. Well, good. That was fun. Sean?
You're going to take a guess?
I'm going to go with middle-aged moment.
You're correct. Nate, is that what you're going to say? I'm going to say yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so this happens often. The song I heard this morning on the way back from the gym before I got ready for work.
And, it's raining, man.
It's raining, man. How did you know? It's like you're in my head. You haven't lost my voice, have you? This is probably not one you guys have heard. Maybe. I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Red Clay Strays? Mm-hmm. It 92.3. Mm-hmm. I know you listen to it sometimes, but that's what I had it on. And it's a song. I think it's fairly new because I haven't heard too much. But I've heard it enough that I listened to it this morning and the words are perfect. And they really struck me. So I thought this is something I want to share with the Creepies too. So this song is called Wanna Be Loved. It, like I said, it hits me hard. I'm sure it'll hit a lot of people out there hard too. All of us too. But everybody's waiting for a break, like fast cars and freedom. Everybody wants the same old thing. Tell me, what will it bring? My friend, I'm tired of being this way. I'm tired of running astray. Oh God, I need to know you're still above. I just want to be loved. I got anything chill. I just want to be loved. Can you tell me I'm worthy or important? Am I working hard enough? That's the one that hit me. Like, I'm going to use this one. I heard, and am I working hard enough? I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. They say that faith can move a mountain, but I'm built for the climb. So tell me, am I faithful or just too stubborn? Tell me, what will I find at the peak, at the top, at the end of the line, and at the end of my life? Oh, tell me how my climb will be judged. I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. Can you tell me, am I worthy or important? Am I working hard enough? Oh, I just want to be loved. Oh, I just want to be loved. I'm afraid, and I've been alone. Sometimes I need someone to pick up the phone. I'm tired of leaving. I need a home. Oh, I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. Can you tell me, am I worthy or important? Am I working hard enough? Oh, I just want to be loved. And I want someone to want me. I want somebody there. And I need someone to need me. I need someone who cares. And it's like, damn straight, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that song this morning, and I'm like, I had all these other ones picked out, and I'm like, oh, I could go this way, I go that way, and some dark sides, but yeah, that one got me.
Cool.
So yeah,
good message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Massage.
Thank you for
no,
that.
No, message, right? Mm-hmm. Now, massage.
Well, good.
Mental and emotional massage, right?
Yeah, I hear you. Shout-outs. Sean, you have any shout-outs?
I really don't. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to shout-out, because I know we do this every once in a while, but... First of all, I don't do this enough. I shout out to you guys.
You give us a shout out about every other one.
So I don't, but I don't do it enough. I love you guys. I love you guys. No, but I and the Creepies. That's what. So you two, schmucks over there, and the Creepies. I really appreciate it.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
I will ditto that. This has been a wild ride, and truly, truly, enjoy it. I know. We had some conversations earlier, and doing a podcast was not on my
bucket
to-do
list.
Yeah.
Your bucket list?
At all, but I am glad that we found this, and I was asked to join this and be part of this, and I couldn't ask for anything better. This,
cool.
This is awesome.
Excellent. So. Cool. See here. I have two shout-outs. The first one I want to mention to J.P. Bean. His son dates my daughter. And he had mentioned that he had my daughter mentioned it to me, I think, Monday night. He said that, I don't know when I'd said it, but he goes, hey, your dad, not broke his heart or anything, but said, upset him or whatever. He had a beef with me, and he's like, your dad said that he doesn't like anybody with two first names. And I'm like, yeah, I've said that before.
Uh-huh.
Plenty of times in my life. And I'm like, never trust anybody with two first names. He's like, I'm listening to the podcast. He's like, I'm a creepy. And he says that. Hurt my feeling. Yeah. Well, I thought that was funny. So shout out to you, JP. And, you know, him and his wife, Emily, they bought the first two tickets to the live show. So
mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. Awesome.
Yeah. So I want to thank them for that. And then the other one is we reached, thank you to the Creepies, so shout out to the Creepies, we reached last Friday, as of this past Friday, the, what was it, the 23rd,
yeah,
we reached 750,000 downloads. So that's pretty awesome. Just shy of 3.5 years.
Incredible.
So totally. we had literally like 750,220, I think, downloads. Mm-hmm. So not bad.
Stellar.
Not bad. So mm-hmm. thank you, Creepies, for giving us any time that you can to listen to our podcast. Because I know we're not the best out there.
Your ears.
But
try not to be the worst.
Try not to. Yeah. We do our show the way
we're
do our show.
We're the best of the worst. Is that what you're saying?
That's what we do. Yep. So shout out to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you could do whatever you want with your time and just take some of your time and listen to us three knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
Very appreciative. Would have never thought in a million years we'd have that many people listening.
Yeah. So we appreciate it.
I have my finger. I'm fingering you guys right now. I wanted to, the reason I'm holding up is I want you had a you
That's
had
like
a
three
thought.
Times this episode.
I know. I'm sorry.
So vulgar.
I'm sorry. I said at work too, because I think I said at the last show I mentioned something about when it comes to my mind and there's some filter there that's supposed to be functioning and says don't do it, Sean, and then I'm doing it.
Don't saying, touch the red
don't,
button.
Don't. But no, you had a thought you didn't finish, and you said you'd mention it later. Well, no, you said your dad. It was.
I don't remember.
You were talking about. I think you were going to say that it was an anniversary that he's been gone for.
Oh, as of the 23rd, he had been gone 20 years.
Yeah. Mm. So anyway,
shout out to my dad.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be one of your shout outs.
Passed away August 23rd of 2004. So
that's
20 years.
That's
he would have been 90. Well, as of January. So, yeah.
Wow. Anyway,
so, yeah. Shout out to my dad.
Heavenly shout out.
I miss
right?
him. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you do. I'm sure you do.
Can't wait to see him.
Our dads are up there looking at us going, those two schmucks. What the heck? What are they doing?
They ain't looking down. They're in heaven, man. They don't look down on this crap.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're, if they're smart, they're not looking down.
Unless God lets them see. I don't know how that works. So let's get on to the second announcement. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I have them over here. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kind of merch, so go get you some. And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all our socials.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's my turn. Sweet. It's my turn this time.
Nate, help us out, brother.
I'm just going to go with it and freestyle this and say that's a wrap.
That'll work. Perfect for this episode.
It is a cap, right? Cap that stone.
Hey, thank you, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 182 and our Creeped Out Freestyle number 8. And so until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.